We thank you for the food and the fellowship. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us and your care for us, your patience, Father, for us. And we just pray for our study today, Father, that you would open our eyes, Father, and our minds to perceive and understand your word, Father, and to apply it to our lives. So we pray, Father, that you would come with your word and your spirit, Father, and that you would change us forever, that you would be the potter and we the clay in your hands. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, so who remembers what last week's Torah portion was about? Anybody? Any takers? Sarah, can you try it?
It was, Dinah started off with Dinah, Jacob's daughter, getting taken by Shechem.
I don't know if it started off there, but that did happen, yes?
Wait, she got taken? I thought she went into the city.
Well, she went to the city, and then that guy, instead of asking permission, he just went and pretty much held her captive because the brothers had to go get her.
Right.
And then the brothers killed all the men. And that's the name.
Okay. Hannah?
It started off with Esau.
Who?
Esau. Coming after Jacob. And then finally, Jacob wrestled with the person he was supposed to. And after that, we see all of, instead of Jacob running from people and fighting them, arguing with them, now he meets them face to face and things go much better. His brother's heart turned.
Right.
And he loved him.
Yeah. So he finally prayed, right, for his situation. Mm-hmm. And his brother, who was coming with how many men?
400.
400 men. Yeah, it turned into Esau and Jacob hugging each other and kissing each other rather than fighting, right? Yeah, so that's a good point, Hannah. Anything else stick out? So we have that, we had the whole issue at Shechem. The brothers deceived the entire land and circumcised everybody, right? And then kill them.
And then they left.
And then they left. Where did they go?
Should have stayed.
You guys remember where they went?
Did they go east?
They went somewhere where they had to take all their idols and all their jewelry and bury it under a tree. You guys remember where they were going? A place called Bethel? Mm-hmm. Right? So they went to Bethel, they buried all their stuff, and who died there?
Rachel.
Huh?
Rachel.
Deborah died.
Oh, Deborah
first.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
So Deborah dies. And then Rachel dies. And who else dies? Isaac dies.
Oh.
So Isaac was still alive this whole time. And who was Deborah?
Nurse to Rebecca, right?
She was Rebecca's nurse, but where was Rebecca?
She's already gone.
We don't know when she died. The author never tells us when she died. But she dies because her nurse was there. Right, so we hear about the nurse. We hear about Isaac. Right, Isaac was alive this entire time. So Isaac got to.
But that was her cursing, maybe.
Possibly, yeah.
She said, "Let me be cursed, not you."
Yeah. So the two girls, one that took an idol, Rachel, and one that deceived her blind husband. Are both now gone. Hello, brother.
Hello.
They're both now gone in the same chapter. One of them we didn't even hear about, and the other one, where do they bury her?
Right there on the roadside.
On the roadside. It's fascinating that he doesn't take her to Machpelah, where everyone else is buried, right?
But I think, you know, when he said whoever has the idols will die, I think he's got power in what he said. And I think that's why it went down the way it did.
So here's the fascinating thing is, they had just went to Bethel and everybody had just buried their idols, but we don't know if she took her dad's idol and buried her dad's idol there. Or did she still have it? Did Jacob ever come to the knowledge that she had her dad's idol?
Well, that's a little strange. What I find is so strange about that is, they don't have all tents together like a husband and wife. It It's weird.
Oh.
It's like, you would think he would know everything, but
he has like a his and her
separate chance.
Yeah. I mean, in the world, there are men that do things that their wives don't know about, and there are things that the wives do that the men don't know about. Is that right? No. But even today's world, some people do that too. Right? So that's another commentary out there is, did she bury Laban's idol, or was her death because she went to Bethel with the idol and that's why she died there?
I think so.
You know?
That's where they buried them all, and that's where she gave birth and died in giving birth.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so that's that. And then Esau and Isaac, they bury their dad, right? And they part ways. And why do they have to part ways?
Too much stuff.
Have you ever heard that in your Bible again before?
This is like the third time.
Yeah, there's just too much stuff, and they just can't live together because of their stuff, right?
And they said women carry a lot. Just saying. Keep going. Carry on.
That's it? Comment and run?
Okay,
and then we finished off with a what? What did that Torah portion finish off with?
Genealogy.
A genealogy. So what does that mean?
Change in the seven.
Yep.
All right. So that takes us to chapter 37 and verse 1, unless I missed anything. No? Okay, so on the board, I have it nice and color-coded for you. The color codes are going to show you what brings this all together. So you have three sections, one, two, three sections that are like a macro movement or connection. And then within the sections, you have these little color codes that these sections are going to be tied together. The greens are tied together, the blues are tied together, the reds are tied together, and then this black one will come back over here to the next Torah portion. And you're going to see as we fill this in, you're going to see it'll make sense as we fill it in. But just know that the colors are supposed to be little brackets to tie this all together, okay? So, you ready? You guys ready?
Yep.
Sure. Sure. So you're going to turn to Bereshit, chapter 37. Okay? And we're going to go through 1 through 14 first. We will read it. Are you ready? So Jacob settled in the land of his father's sojourning in the land of Canaan. These are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, 17 years old, was tending the flock with his brothers, and he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought to their father very bad reports about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. He was the son of his old age. And he made him a what?
A long sleeve tunic.
Yours says a long sleeve tunic.
Mine says right. An ornamented tunic.
Sarah?
Same thing.
Ornamented, maybe it has like jewels on it? What?
It's a decorative one. And what did yours say?
Mine says tunic of fine wool.
Tunic of fine wool? Okay.
So that'd be like cashmere, isn't it? Cashmere like wool as well? I don't know.
What is this nickname? A long sleeve.
So this one says this is a long tunic. The phrase, because most people are used to many colors.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, that's because that's only found in the Latin translation of the Bible and in the Septuagint, the Greek translation.
go back far enough.
But in the Hebrew, you're going to find the same word used for other people's robes, and it never means many colors. It's special somehow. It's longer than the others, or thicker than the others, or a better design than the others, but it's not. One thing it's not like a rainbow. It's not many colors. Okay? So, he loves him more, and because of that, he gave him a special robe.
Mine points out that it doesn't say that he loves Joseph more because he came from Rebekah.
It doesn't do that?
It doesn't say...
Mine just said because he loves him more because he was the son of his old age.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, you would think if that was a child from the one he really wanted in the first place, you would think that would be mentioned to say that's why he loves him more. We're just talking about because he's in his old age.
Yeah, because he's old and he wasn't probably supposed to have another child, but he did. I mean, because how old was like Reuben when he had...
Was he 50?
When he had little... Actually, no, who's this? Joseph that he loved? Yeah. No, Benjamin's even younger.
Yeah, Benjamin's going to be coming up. Because we're talking about Joseph right now.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Because...
Because it says, the explanation is a little odd, both because of the fact that Joseph is the son of the beloved Rachel, is unmentioned, and because it is the last born Benjamin, who is a real child of Jacob's old age.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking right now, too.
Right.
So, yeah, Benjamin is older. What is this lady doing? You kissing paper over there?
You asked that question too much. This lady...
I'm sorry. Okay, she was kissing paper.
No, that's what we used to do in school.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Violet will have to tell you a story.
Sorry, I'm listening.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so yeah, no, that's a good point, because I never thought about it, but yeah, Benjamin is...
Yeah.
He was older when he had Benjamin, so what's going on here?
He's just playing favorites like his mom.
Yeah, favorites.
Oh, you guys have heard this before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Listen now to this dream, which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and then my sheaf rose and also stood upright. Then behold, your sheaf stood all around and paid homage to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Will you indeed reign over us? Will you indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers. And he said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars paid homage to me." And he told his father and his brothers. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Will I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down to ourselves to you to the earth?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the saying in his heart. And his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." And he said to them, "Here I am." And he said to him, "Please go see whether it will be well with your brothers, well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Okay? What do you guys think? What's going on in your minds when you read this?
And he says, are we? I and your mother's gonna bow down to you. By that time, Rachel was already gone, so really it wasn't his little mamas. It was the rest of the ladies there, you know, because we had the two concubines, and then we had the one that had the weaker eyes.
Leia?
Leia, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So,
but he only says me and your mother.
Mm-hmm. So is it kind of gone back? Are we like, Rachel's died, or yeah. Rebecca has died? No, Rachel.
Rachel.
Has she died, but now we're kind of backtracking a little bit?
No.
No. Okay.
No, because now he's 17 years old.
Yeah, but she hasn't. So Benjamin's alive now?
Yeah, she already had Benjamin.
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't know if it was like, no, sometimes it repeats back.
No, because now he's 17.
Okay. So how old is Benjamin?
Hmm?
How old is Benjamin?
I don't know.
Young him?
Okay, so what's going on in your mind on this?
That's what I was thinking.
What?
What she just said.
What'd she say?
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, you threw me off with your going
moms,
back in the future
said,
thing. Oh, yes, the mothers. Yeah.
My mom and I, and then it's like Rachel's not in the picture, but he called
somebody.
Yeah. Mom. Yeah.
Or Bilha. I don't know which one.
Or.
But, yeah.
One of them.
So
all
who is he hanging out with? Who is Joseph hanging out with? What
Dad.
Brothers does he hang out with here?
Oh.
It tells us up here in the beginning who he hangs out with.
That must have been Rachel's concubines.
Yeah, it was
That's
Rachel's.
Who they were.
Yeah.
Which would have been Dan and Nepali.
Who is he not hanging out with?
Leah's.
Yeah, he's definitely not hanging out with Leah's.
Leah. Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, yeah. Gad and Asher.
Yeah, so the first 14 verses, it tells us who he's hanging out with, who he's not hanging out with, that his dad loves him, and his dad gave him a special robe, right? Special royal robe here. And the brothers just keep not liking him and keep not liking him because, especially because of his dreams now.
Because Dad likes him more.
Yeah. Hannah?
Well, the main thing too is he's still under the care of his dad. His brothers should have their own families and shouldn't be worrying about what their dad's giving them. They should be worrying about what they're giving to their children.
Yeah, because these guys are old already. His oldest brothers are probably in their 50s.
That's right.
Right?
And continue your Thanksgiving conversation with Nicole. Or how she's saying, ask your mom, how come you never got us braces, but you got Jacob braces? And she's like a lot older than him, but she's comparing like what he had. And
no, that's a little bit different. Because she's asking, how come when we were little, you didn't do this for us, but you did it for him when he was little. This is different. These guys are 50. This kid's only 17 at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Well, probably mom didn't have the means for them, right?
Well, she said his teeth were worse or something. I don't know. Uh-huh. But she brings it up a lot.
No, here at the moment, these guys are 50. These guys are old enough to be his parents.
Yeah.
And
should be adults and have their own family and kinder. Stay in their lane.
Yeah. But they're mad.
Stay in their lane.
So can you, okay, so this is interesting. If you look at the dynamics, you have a 17-year-old kid telling their dad the evil that the 50-year-old is doing. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't the 50-year-old be teaching the 17-year-old how to be civilized and to how to walk in purity? But here the 17-year-old is the one bringing the report that the 50-year-old is rebellious.
Right.
This isn't a
more
bunch
mature.
Yeah, this isn't like a bunch of teenagers
well,
telling on each other.
You how dysfunctional this family is.
Yeah. This is the 17-year-old, right? The 17-year-old going to the 100-year-old his dad and saying, hey, the 50-year-old is misbehaving. So that's the dynamics that we're having here. The 17-year-old has to tell on the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds about all the wrongdoings that they're doing.
He hasn't said the good stuff.
Well, the dad is the one that's asking him to give me a report.
And he's obeying.
And all he's doing is telling the dad what he sees.
Right. Getting a report, not the report.
Yeah, and so who gets mad at him for that?
Yeah.
And is it their fault that they're... Is it Joseph's fault that he's reporting what he's seeing?
He's obedient to his dad.
Yeah, but they don't like it, right?
No, do you like being called out? No one likes being called out.
Well, how could the situation be fixed?
Don't be revealing.
Exactly.
Like
who else didn't like?
Have some integrity.
There was a couple of brothers at the beginning of your Bible where one wasn't doing good and he got mad at the other one. Because the other one was doing good. You guys, there you go, right? So, but here's the interesting thing is, where are they going back to?
Shechem.
What happened in Shechem? Just
they killed the whole people because of Dinah.
Yeah, so I don't like this place so far. Because only bad stuff happens in this place. Okay?
The same brothers that messed up this whole town were right there. Those are them.
Because this town, we knew a guy took a girl when he shouldn't have done it, violated her, and then brothers go and deceive the town and kill the town. Now let's see what happens in the town of Shechem. Ready? So, a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. When was the first time you read about the field in your Bible?
When Rebekah was going out to meet.
No.
No, he was.
Cain and Abel.
Oh, okay.
They were out in the field.
Well, the other guy was going potty, I think, and he was in the field or something.
Well, he was actually by the well. He drank a lot of water. Yeah. Yeah. He was by a well. But here they're in the field. So it's like Cain and Abel, everybody. So the man asked him, saying, what are you looking for? And he said, I'm looking for my brothers. Tell me, please, where they are feeding their flocks. The man said, they have gone from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan, which is the wells. And Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him from afar, and before he even came near them, they conspired against him to... Anybody?
Kill. Mine says kill.
To harag him, right? Yep, to slay him, to murder him. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer is coming. Therefore, let us kill him and cast him into the pit. And we will say some awful beast has devoured him. Then we will see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him from their hands, and he said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, don't pour out blood. Throw him into this pit that's in the wilderness, and don't lay a hand on him, so he might get him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it was when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his robe, the robe that was on him, and they took him and put him in a pit. The pit was empty and it had no water in it. Any thoughts so far?
Reuben had already gone through a lot in his life, so I think that he had the compassion to try to save him.
So you think Reuben is being nice here?
Yeah, he's wanting to take him back to his dad later.
Okay. Julie?
Do you think Reuben's being nice?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to kill him, but he said, no, let's not have that blood on our hands.
I don't think his intent is like 100%.
What do you think?
I think his motive is... his position as the firstborn. Like almost like it's almost his duty. It's out of duty, not really compassion, maybe.
Okay.
More, he probably should have said to just leave him and let him do what their father told him to do.
Okay. So yeah, brothers that talk and they want to kill him. Reuben says, let's not kill him. Let's just put him in a pit so he can eventually save him. But we don't know his motives yet, right? So we don't know if this is good because he just wants to save the kid, or...
I think the responsibility falls on him.
Or you think it's responsibility. Other commentaries say that he's trying to redeem himself from what he did with his father's concubine. Some people, some people think that he's trying to, if he brings the brother back alive from this, then he's going to somehow get elevated back to his position. Because right now he's not doing so hot with the father after he went with the concubine, right? So let's keep reading. Unless you had, did you have something to say? No? Okay, verse 25. So they sat down to eat bread. They lifted up their eyes and looked. Behold, a company of Ishmaelites had come from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let our hand be upon him. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Then the Midianites, merchantmen, passed by. They drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So first, all brothers talk as one voice, but then there's a dissenting voice, which is Reuben, and then there's another voice that overrides Reuben, which is Judah. Do you guys see this? So all the brothers want to kill him, but then Reuben's like, no, because Reuben wants to eventually save him, but then Judah talks after him and has a different plan. And everyone listens to Judah. Okay? How you doing so far?
Dysfunctional.
Can you imagine your children selling one of your...
No, I cannot. I'll be okay with that.
But you don't have all these concubines and wives and things going on. That's a lot going on in that family.
It's crazy, right? So... Jacob grew up fighting with his brother, right? And then Jacob was eventually fighting with his father-in-law. And in the midst of him fighting with Laban, his wives were fighting. Now that a wife is dead, his wives can't fight. Now guess who's fighting in his family?
Kids.
His own children are now fighting with each other. Like... Nowhere in his life is there not a moment where someone's not fighting with...
Right. Turmoil, constant.
Mm-hmm. It was him. Then him and his brother. Then it was him and his father-in-law. Then it was his wives. Then it was his sons in Shechem.
Well, I can't imagine a family where there's not just a mom and dad. There's a dad, and then there's mom and another mom, and then there's two conflict. Like, that's already messed
that's
up.
It's crazy.
I can see why there's so much jealousy and stuff. Like, that's just so dysfunctional.
They're practicing
the and that's the 12 tribes.
Yeah, that's them. They learned it from their mamas. Their mamas fought over this guy, and now they're all fighting over their dad. The way their mamas fought over him.
It was modeled for them.
Yeah. Okay. But there's a lesson to be learned in all this, and hopefully they get there. Hopefully. So what profit? So Judah makes this a material gain statement, right? Now Judah's making this about, well, if we kill him, we don't get nothing. But if we sell him, we can make some money. So here you go. Human trafficking 101. You can thank Judah for it. Okay. So, verse 29.
Is Judas still alive? No. So, no, we cannot thank him for it.
All right, smart guy. Here we go. Verse 29. So, Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So, he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers, and he said, "The boy is not there. And I... where will I go?" Uh-oh. Apparently, Reuben was not there when this all happened. Mm-hmm. Why, where was he? Where did he go?
Who knows?
Like, where did he go?
Well, weren't they going to say that? Or weren't they going to get a lamb or goat's blood to put on the
jacket? Okay, John Jr., hold on. Let me read the next verse. It says, "And they took Joseph's robe, and they killed a kid of the goats." This is what you're talking about?
Yeah, but maybe even to go kill one. And then that's when they were doing that.
Yeah, and they dipped the robe in the blood, and they sent the long robe. They brought it to their father and said, "We found this. Do you know whether or not this is your son's robe?" And he knew it and he said, "It's my son's robe. An awful beast has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn in pieces." So Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son for many days. Who tore their clothes in this paragraph?
Reuben.
Hmm?
Reuben.
Dad.
Reuben and the dad. Hannah, you got a thought? No? So, Reuben tears his clothes because the kid's gone. But when the kid was gone, what did they keep? Why? And why did they keep it? Because when Reuben gets there, the kid's already gone. But all the brothers, they sold him without his coat.
Must be getting cold. Wait, what season is this? Winter or summer?
I don't know. So what do they... You're licking the paper again. So what do they do with the coat?
Dip it in blood.
Oh, no, tore it. As well.
So does something have to die for him? Something died for him, right? Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Yeah. What died for him?
A goat.
A goat.
They shouldn't have to...
Has there ever been a deception in your Bible involving a goat before? What was it?
It was Rebecca's idea. But, they had to kill to cover up to be the brother.
So Rebecca had to kill a goat, or Jacob killed a goat, right? And she made an alpha of goat, right? Made him look like a beast, a hairy beast to the dad, and deceived the dad with a goat. So what are the brothers doing here with the goat? They're deceiving, they're going to deceive the dad with not the goat skin, but with the blood, right? The blood of the goat.
Right, on the coat.
That's fascinating. Fascinating, right? So here, in this verse, the brothers, what do they do? What do the brothers do here? They trap and enslave Joseph.
Mm-hmm. And sell him.
Yeah, and they sell him where?
To the merchants going by.
Yep, they sell Joseph. Can you guys imagine this happening in your life?
But that's going to help fulfill those dreams he's having.
Do they know that yet?
Nope.
How do you know that?
Because we read ahead many times.
I wonder if they forgot about his dreams.
Oh, and that royal robe is taken from him, right? That's fascinating. Okay, so who are the animal? What's the animal that devoured his son here? What animal devoured Joseph?
It says a vicious beast.
A beast.
No, but in reality, who's the animal? The brothers are the animal.
Oh, yes.
The brothers are the beast. I'm telling you, it's all throughout your Bible. The mark of the beast. The beast is not some random dude out there. It's the spiritual thing that gets you to do dumb things. He's the lion that crouches at your door and desires to have you. And you people end up acting like it, right? It's not some guy out there who's a politician or whatever like that. It's a spirit that can come to anybody if you don't listen to God's voice.
It's true.
Right? Because here...
So then it's not just one person or one thing. It's many people with that spirit.
Oh, yeah. If you read the Epistle of John, he says there's many anti-messiahs. There's not one antichrist. He said there's many of them.
Mm-hmm. There has
been already. Yeah, it's always been. Right? And it's basically, at this moment, if you had to pick someone in the world at that time, it would be the brothers. How horrendous would that be?
But they were led by those principles, those spiritual beings as well.
Oh, yeah.
To do all this, too. So it was there then.
Yeah, I mean, this... So because you have the foundation of the Bible, of the beginning, where God tells Cain, Cain himself was not an evil dude. It was this that he listened to the wrong voice, just like Mama listened to the wrong voice. And Daddy listened to the wrong voice, right? It was that influence where even God told him, hey, there is this thing crouching at your door. Don't give in to it. You could overcome it. But because he gave in to it, he followed its direction and did to Abel what he did to Abel. And the same thing with these brothers, right? There's this wrestle with the brothers. It's like, we want to do this. And one of them, even though he's not a good guy because he's already slept with the concubine, there's some good where he's like, ah... No, let's put him in a pit, but in reality he wanted to save him, but yet he was too cowardly to stand up to everybody, even though he was the oldest.
Probably because he knew what their intentions were.
Maybe he knew, yeah, maybe he knew his brothers were wicked and they might have done something to him. That's the crazy part, because this is supposed to be the family that redeems the world.
It's dysfunctional.
Okay, so that's where we're at here. So verse 35, and it says, all his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I shall go down to the grave mourning for my son. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard. Hannah.
That is the Ishmaelites.
Yeah, mine says
yours says Ishmaelites.
What at is the beginning, like when it said, where is the verse?
That confused. Because it says that the Ishmaelites came, and then now it's saying that the Midianites sold them to Potiphar.
Like in your Bible, does it say Ishmaelites or Midianites or both?
Verse 28.
So.
Yeah, so the Midianites, the merchantmen passed by and drew and lifted them out. But then, again, it tells you the Ishmaelites did it over here. Right? They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. So, because they're... Okay, so they could be from Midian, the place, but they could be Ishmaelites. They can be from the lineage of Ishmael, but they could be living in Midian. Does that make sense?
It's like how you can have Italians living in America.
Yes.
Okay. So this one's trying to say that that there are two stories being spliced together. That's why one says Midianite and then it says Ishmaelites and then it goes back to Midianites. Like it's...
Ishmaelites, Midianites, then Midianites.
Yeah, I mean, it could, like, so they could be Ishmaelites from the family of Ishmael, but they could be living in Midian at the time. If that makes sense.
So his own brothers didn't drag him up. The Midianite merchants did.
Well, they
tried to keep their hands clean.
Yes.
And not
well, they threw him in there.
Well, yeah, but then they're trying to not.
Yeah, so that's the end of chapter 37. And now Daddy, Jacob, is deceived by his sons. Who else in the Bible was deceived by his sons?
Isaac.
You guys already read this story, just different names.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Deceived by his sons. And how did they deceive him? With what?
The coat.
Yeah, deception by that precious coat. Right? So a royal robe is given, a royal robe is taken, and a royal robe is used as deception. That's your first block. I wonder if we're going to read anything else about robes and tunics in this Torah portion. What do you think?
Yep. Because they're going to try to... The lady's going to try to pull his tunic off or whatever.
Oh, look at you. You're connecting them. You betcha. Y'all are going to start having to teach this now instead of me. Yeah, you guys are becoming biblical scholars. Okay, chapter 38, the most random but not random chapter in your Bible, because we're just talking about Joseph and being deceived and his father grieving for him, right? Yes.
Yeah, there's no genealogy to...
And there's no genealogy to saying there's a different thought, so the author's letting you know, even though this might sound random, it's not. This is the same thought. You ready for it?
I think he's just showing more like Judah's character.
No, it's not.
Or it's we're on the topic of coats, so.
Watch, yeah.
Yeah.
So it happened at that time, Judah went down from his brothers, turned into a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira, and Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. He took her and went into her. She conceived, bore a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bore a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Shezeb when she bore him. So how long does it take for one woman and one man to have three children?
Probably a year and a half, a little bit more, almost a 2 years.
Okay.
I mean, I'm back to back, right? Nine.
So
three to 5 years.
3 to 5 years? Okay.
Unless she let them wean to 3 years old, like typical, then it'd be closer to 9 years.
Okay, yeah, so it might be a 9 year span so far. Okay. So, she bore him. Verse 6. So Judah took a wife whose name was Tamar for his firstborn. How old do you got to be to take a wife? In their day, typically.
It's like 30 or 40. Isn't it?
Okay, yeah. It's been about 30 years old so far that we've noticed. Okay. So he takes a wife for a grown man now, right? Judah said to Onan, go into... Oh, sorry. way too far. Judah took a wife whose name was Tamar for Ur, his firstborn. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was bad, evil, in the sight of Yahweh, so much so that Yahweh killed him. So Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife, marry her, raise up seed for your brother." Onan knew that the seed would not be his, and it was when he went into his brother's wife, he spilled it on the ground, lest he would give his seed to his brother. And what he did displeased Yahweh, so he killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow at your father's house until my son Shelah is grown." So obviously they're not just back to back to back. Right? Because she has to wait for this guy. For he said, "Lest perhaps he die also like his brothers, because you're killing all my sons, lady."
It really is their behavior. That's what was killing them.
Okay. So is Judah going to be honest with Tamar here? You're saying no. You guys don't think he's being honest? He's really going to give... Why isn't he going to give Shelah to Tamar?
Because he's killing all the sons. Or that's what he thinks. But it's their behavior that the Lord's killing.
Aha. Does Judah know that it's his son's fault?
Nope.
You don't think Judah knows?
He doesn't know what goes on in the bedroom.
So he's got two sons die, right? Mm-hmm. And now who is he deceiving?
Tamar.
Yeah, he deceives Tamar. Any possibility why these boys are so bad that God has to kill them? What might be wrong with Hannah?
Well, Judah married a Canaanite woman, so...
Is that bad?
He wasn't supposed to marry them.
Oh, he wasn't supposed to marry them. You were correct. You're not supposed to marry a Canaanite.
That's all right.
So, you ever had a case of, "Oh, I should have listened to my grandpa and my father because this ain't turning out well. This marriage and these children are not turning out too great." So, Judah's learning the hard way here. What did it cost Judah for disobeying and marrying a Canaanite? Cost him two sons so far.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Not too good so far.
Do you think part of it too could be like a consequence for coming up the lie that lying to his dad that one of his sons was killed?
Yeah, because you're right. He's the one that it was his idea for what? To sell Joseph. Mm-hmm. His idea to sell Joseph into slavery. If it wasn't for Judah, Reuben would have been taking Joseph back to safety. But Judah's like, "Oh, hey, let's make some money." And what happens? He loses two sons. And now he's afraid that Tamar is going to kill his other son. There's something about this Tamar girl that's killing his sons. In his mind, that's why he doesn't want to give Shelah to her. Okay? You guys cool? Okay, here we go. So then Tamar went and lived in her father's house. In the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shears to Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And Tamar was told, saying, "Look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she put her widow's garments off from her, covered herself with a robe, wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is on the road to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah had grown, and she was not given to him for a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought that she was a harlot, because she had covered her face. So he turned to her along the way and he said, "Come now, let me come in to you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you would come in to me?" And he said, "I will send a goat from the flock." And she said, "Will you give me a pledge until you send it?" He said, "What pledge will I give you?" She said, "Your signet, your cord, and your staff that is in your hand." And he gave them to her, and he came into her, and she conceived by him. Then she got up, went away, and set aside her veil or her robe, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he did not find her. Then he asked the men of the place, saying, "Where's the harlot who was openly by the wayside?" They said, "There's no harlot in this place." So he returned to Judah and he said, "I cannot find her." And also the men of the place said, "There's not a harlot in this place." And Judah said, "Let her take them for herself so we don't be ashamed. Look, I sent this kid and you have not found her." Uh-oh. So what do you guys, what's going on in your mind here? What are you hearing?
Tamar's got a plan.
What is her plan?
She's trying to get that...
Save the family.
Yeah, that's it.
Save the family.
Yeah, Jacob's family is about to be saved, but how is it going to be saved?
Deception.
How did she deceive him?
She was a
harlot.
Prostitute.
Yeah, so Tamar deceives Judah with robes. Takes off one robes and put on another robe. Who's been deceived by robes in this whole story so far?
Jacob, Isaac,
and then Joseph. Yeah, and Joseph, right? Judah just deceived his dad with the robe of his brother. And now Judah is being deceived with the robe of his, what's supposed to be his daughter-in-law. But she noticed that she was deceived by Judah because Shela was fully grown and Judah never gave his son to her. So she deceives him.
Deceiving.
With robes.
That's the only thing they know to do.
Are they not good at it?
Oh, they're good at it.
What woman can be like, "Your dad's going to bless your brother. Quick, I have an idea. Let's make a goat costume for you." To make, like, just... And Sarah was the one that showed it to us that Jacob, by the time Jacob left, Esau was coming right in. Like, it was like a close escape by being caught. To come so creative like that. I mean, they're good at this thing. They are good at this deception thing. I mean, what woman's like, "Oh, hey, look." In the spur of a moment, they're like, "Hey, there's Judah coming. Judah, oh, let me switch my garments and pretend to be something I'm not."
She's doing this for a good thing.
But what I'm saying is, these women are quick and crafty. You have to watch out for them. Because who else? I mean, look how quick this is. He's walking down the road and she just, bam, has this master scheme in her head and pulls it off like nothing. She doesn't have to go and sit and think about how am I going to do this. It just like, bam, comes right to her.
Well, I'm thinking the guys that were trying to see Joseph coming down the road, that was a scheme too. It's like, let's do this. So they're not any better than the girls.
Oh.
Yeah,
right?
But it took all of them.
Yeah, to do one thing.
But they didn't have to do no costume party here.
Well, they took the costume to dirty it up.
They didn't have to decorate nothing. No, that was after. That was afterward. They were sitting by, eating dinner, and all this stuff, thinking about what they were going to do. This girl is just like, spur of the moment, man. So Tamar does what Rebecca did, except Rebecca clothed Jacob and Tamar's clothing herself.
But she's doing it for a reason, a very important reason.
Why, Eliz is going to keep going back to that.
Right, at the end we find out that's what it was, right?
Sure, but all I'm saying is these women are quick. Like, who can think of such a plan just like that? And pull it off, right? So, there's no robes there, but robes there. Got you? Okay, so let's keep reading. We're at verse 24. So it was about 3 months later. It was told to Judah, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot, and also, behold, she's with a child by harlotry. Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burned. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, I am with child. And she said, discern now whose these are, the signet, the cord, and the staff. And Judah acknowledged them, and he said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give to her my son Shelah.
There you go. More righteous. Ta-da!
Now, is it very difficult to be more righteous than him?
Not really, not.
Just because he says, more righteous, doesn't, you don't have to be that righteous to be more righteous than Judah at this moment. I mean, he only sold his brother into slavery and married a Canaanite.
Only.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Yeshua says, man, if y'all are just more righteous than the Pharisees, you're going to be pretty good. They ain't doing too good. Uh-uh. They're all I got so far. That's what Yeshua is saying. All I got is the Pharisees, and if your righteousness exceeds them, you're going to make it, because that's all I got. Have you read about them? They make some rules up. Right? This is kind of what Judah is saying here. It's like, well, yep, she's more righteous than I. You're like, well, you don't got to try too hard here. Because Judah's not so hot here. Okay? So he said, she's been more righteous than I, and because I did not give her my son Shelah, and he did not go in to know her again. So it happened at the time of her travail, there were twins in her womb, and it was when she travailed that one put his hand, and the midwife put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a red scarlet thread, saying, this one came out first. It happened as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. She said, how vigorously you have broken forth. Therefore, his name was called Perez, or Peretz in Hebrew. And afterward, his brother came out, who had the scarlet thread on his hand. His name was called Zerah. Woo! So, what do you guys hear in this?
She had twins.
She had twins, okay. How? So, what does that mean?
I don't guess we hear any more about them anymore, do we?
You don't hear any more about who?
These twins.
Are you sure?
Well, no, I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Miss Viola's not sure. So how about, instead of saying Tamar deceives, let's say she counter-deceives. Can we say that instead?
How about we say she's more righteous?
No.
I like that one better.
She counter-deceives him. No, we can't. So she counter-deceives him there. What did Judah finally do here? As you keep pointing out, as Julie pointed out, what did he confess to?
She's more righteous than I.
Yeah, so he confesses, right? He confesses his what?
we used to do that in school.
That
he
confesses his deceit to her. Mm-hmm. How did he deceive her? Yeah, he said, hey, just wait until my son's older and I'll give him to you. And then when he confesses, he goes, she's more righteous because I didn't give my son to her. Right, Sarah?
So, it kind of doesn't go along with like what we think of as she's more right than I am.
Uh-huh.
The verb there is zadok, and it's a legal term, which means who has the most convincing evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So she's able to present that that was his stuff and that she was the same woman.
Yeah.
Not necessarily saying that she's being more righteous than he is. It's him saying, like, yeah, she, I'm, like, legal terms.
The legal terms, yes, she's right.
Yeah, but not some righteous.
No, like that word, saying, that word zadok is righteous. Yeah. So she is right and he's wrong.
Because I'm thinking like thinking that she's more holy.
No, it doesn't say holy, it says righteous. Righteous means a relationship. Okay. Righteous means you have a better relationship.
Okay.
Right? So she has a better relationship when it comes to the seed, to the family of Judah, than Judah does. Judah is about to ruin his family. Because who did he marry?
Okay.
He's about to... But, like, his name is going down into the ground. But who's about to save the name? It's her.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So, watch this. Okay, I have the red. You guys see the color codes? Can you guys see anything, any pattern happening within the red brackets?
Deceives and deceives.
Okay, but... So here, Judah deceives Tamar, but before that, how many sons did he have?
Three.
How many died?
Two.
Two. When he confesses his deceit, what happens here?
Two sons are born.
Yeah, two.
Two sons die. Two sons are born.
Confession brings
redemption.
You see this? Okay. So let's see if we find any other patterns. As we go forward.
And those are Judah's grandsons.
They're gonna... This, she's saving his family. The lady that he deceived hangs on to save the family that he's about to run into the ground. She's really got no skin in the game. She's a foreigner.
That's right.
But she cares more about his name than he does. Like, he just can't think for himself. I mean, he's... only his body. He's using his body here to think for himself.
The flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing this for pleasure. She's not doing this for pleasure.
Principles.
Yeah. She's not going for him for looks one bit because this guy's way older than her. She cares about the lineage somehow. Wild. Right? Most women would be like, yeah, your family's crazy, I'm gone anyway. But no. Right? She's still part of this family because she can't go get married because she's supposed to be given to Shelah and it doesn't happen. So she still cares more about the family than Judah. Which is ironic. Alright, chapter 39. You guys ready? Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the hands of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all that he did to succeed in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight. He served him. He made him an overseer over his house. And he put everything he had into his hand. And it was from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and all over that he had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of Yahweh was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know anything he had except the bread which he ate. And Joseph was good looking and well favored. So Joseph is the reversal of Hagar here.
It says here Joseph was handsome mm-hmm. of form and handsome of appearance.
He's a good looking kid. How old is he? 17, right? He's 17. And,
They know he walks with the Lord.
Yeah, so Potiphar's house is blessed because of him. Yeah. So.
And it was the same description used for his mom, apparently.
Yeah, that's right, huh? Rachel.
In 29, verse 17.
Mm-hmm. What else was good to look upon? Ooh, the fruit. Good job, Sarah. Okay. So, the author is setting you up saying he's the fruit. He's the tree. Okay. Verse 7. It happened after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. And he said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he's committed all that he has into my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me except for you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness, and sin against God?" And it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, he did not pay heed to her, to lie with her, to be with her. So what's going on?
She is being very persistent on getting him
to. So what does the author tell you? How? It says she cast her eyes upon him. What is she walking by?
Sight.
Is that what you're supposed to walk by?
No.
But the author told you he's a good-looking guy. Does that matter? Why doesn't it matter?
That doesn't belong to you.
Okay.
A husband's not to look at. A husband is to get.
No. Sarah.
A wise woman said that once.
So what is Joseph, what does he tell her?
The master's made me over everything here except you.
Yeah.
He's not going to sin against his God.
He's basically telling her, you are a tree that is forbidden. Look at the language. Everything in the kingdom has been given to me except for Adam and Eve. You can eat of all these trees except for this one. It's the same language. And Joseph says, no, I am not doing that. I am not repeating what Adam and Eve did. This Adam passed the test. When that tree comes, he said no. He said, how foolish is that? I have everything in the kingdom. You want me to lose everything for you? I'm not doing that. Right? You got something else to say?
No.
Oh, okay. So, verse 11. So there was a day when Joseph went into the house for his work, and none of the men in the house were inside. She caught him by his robe, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his robe in her hand and fled and got himself out. And it happened when she saw that he had left his robe in her hand and was gone, she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in the Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice, and it was. When he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his robe with me, and he fled, and he got himself out. And she put his robe by her until his master came home. And she spoke to him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you have brought to us came in to mock me. And it was, I lifted up my voice, I cried, and that he left his robe with me, and he fled outside. It happened when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, your servant did after this manner to me. His wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But Yahweh was with Joseph and showed him loving kindness, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And whatever they did there, he accomplished. The keeper of the prison did not look after anything that was under his hand, because Yahweh was with him, and Yahweh made everything he did succeed. All right, so talk to me. What just happened?
She lied.
The short chapter.
She lied that he had just had a... Yeah. And I don't even think that all the people that from in that castle believed anything about it. The husband didn't even believe, because normally they'd kill him. So he put him in the prison, and then he also found favor there. So God is in them all the time.
Well, too, he's an asset to them, and why would they want to get rid of him? Because she's being dramatic or whatever. Yeah, so her character probably was known.
Oh, yeah. She's not a good lady.
She's not a good lady?
No.
Why is she a good lady?
She probably acts like that with the almond.
Oh, I'm sure she's...
And the husband knows it,
too. Probably that's the only thing she does. She's probably a lot. And they know her character.
Exactly. Like, not even the slaves believe, I bet.
Yeah, because if you're caught with one of the most powerful politicians in the world at that time, you're probably a dead person, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. So what is her story?
Say this Hebrew you brought.
So who is she blaming? Hannah?
When she was talking to like all the other people, she was blaming her husband for the Hebrew. But when she's talking to her husband, she didn't blame him at all.
When she was blaming her husband?
Oh. To everybody else. Oh. She was blaming her husband, but to his face, she wasn't blaming him.
What did she use as her proof?
A robe.
Oh, a robe. Another robe?
Yeah, you got robe all through there.
Oh, hey, look at that. Yeah, so.
The scarlet thread. The
yeah, so.
All through there.
So her Potiphar's wife's robe, or I would just say the robe deception again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So robe deception again. So you guys see this?
Robes in all the greens. Well, there's one in the blue.
Oh yeah, there's robes at every end.
Except for the.
So there's a robe given.
The red ones don't have robes.
Robe taken.
Robe, and robe, and more robe.
Deception by the robe. There's none there,
nope,
right?
We have a robe there.
There's a robe there.
We jump, yeah. And then there's another robe.
There's not a robe there, but there's a robe here.
Okay. And then before that, there was robes.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And after that, they called the goat that Jacob put on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like a costume, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a costume. That's what costumes are. Even who you really are.
Yeah. So the fascinating thing is, who was the first people to have
Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm. They got goat skin put on them, right?
Yep. That's right. Instead of fig leaves.
Woo!
Yep.
I mean, if you go all the way to the time of Yeshua, what did they do to him when he was hanging on a tree?
They cast lots for his robes.
For his robes. Isn't that fascinating?
There's a robe thing.
There's a car alarm going off.
Yep.
Hey, Seth, can you go see what car alarm's going off? Make sure it's not one of ours. And his assistants?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting. There's a robe theme throughout your Bible. What's the significance of a robe? Well, it's got different significance.
Yeah, it's just showing you the set. Because how did God create us in the beginning? Were we wearing robes?
No robes.
No.
That's almost like a barrier between. There was no barrier.
Like they didn't even like.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a thing. It didn't bring, right?
Right.
Who brought that to us? Who brought that sensuality to know what naked is and naked is not?
Can you even equate it to the division between the Holy of Holies? It's not a robe, but it's like a division.
Yeah. So there's that deceiver who is more naked. It's if we're naked than anyone else. And he wanted to open up their eyes and their horizons to all that stuff. And so now the world is just polluted with it. And Joseph is not letting the world influence him here. He sees himself in the garden, and he's not sinning against God. He's listening to God's voice. He said, "You are a tree. I have everything in this kingdom except for you, and I know. I'm not tearing down everything that is given to me for you. You're not worth it. You're not worth my eternity. You're not worth Yahweh being with me. Because Yahweh's with me. And he's far greater than you are. He's
way better."
So yeah, Joseph, he says there's Yahweh, his presence is with me and it's better than you, lady. And I'm not throwing all of this and him away for you.
Well, it's selfless and surrendering yourself.
Yeah. And is his decision going to cost him politically here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still costly.
Yeah.
It's even costly. It could have been costly if he made a decision to be with her.
Yeah.
Or it's even costly because he didn't because...
So either way, it's going to cost him something.
Yeah, there's going to be a cost regardless.
So might as well choose righteousness.
Yeah, right? The other way is eternal.
Because wherever he's going, he's going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Still, God's going to still.
Yeah, he watches over him.
Yeah.
Work things out.
All right. So yeah. So here we are, home stretch. Yeah. These are some short chapters today.
Yeah.
But they're exciting.
They're exciting. You like them? Mm-hmm. I know. It's got your attention today. Yeah, all right, so chapter 40. You guys ready? Mm-hmm. So yes, sir?
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it was after these things that the mashke, or the cupbearer, of the king of Egypt and the baker sinned against their master, the king of Egypt.
What did they do?
Okay, so the word sin, right, it's all that means is you missed the mark. You made a mistake. That's all it means. Maybe so whenever, if you sin against God, all that means is you...
The bread didn't rise?
Yeah, you messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got the captain of drinking and the baker. They both erred against the king of Egypt. Okay. And Pharaoh was very angry with his two officers, the captain of drinking and the captain of baking. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, something must have been wrong. He must really not like bad food because...
Eat and drink, right? Food.
Yeah, like...
Right?
Well... The thing is, if you're a king of Egypt, you always have these other politicians from other countries come to visit you, and you're trying to show off.
Right.
You're trying to pull out the the fanciest silverware. You're probably trying to have the best cooks and the best food there. And if someone comes to your country and they eat something that didn't taste too good, you the king takes it personally. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do you know what they like? Just make anything that you know how to
Well, if no one's eating the food, let's just say no one really eats the food too much, that's insulting to the king of Egypt. Because he wants other people to come and they want to be like, oh, this is so good. And it makes them invest and do trade deals and stuff with them to make their country money. But if the food ain't good or anything like that, it just doesn't look good on him. Like, his guests were not taken care of, so it just makes for bad relationships with the other political leaders in the world. So that could be one way to look at it. So yes, doing anything for the king or the president, you gotta be high quality.
Especially if it's their food.
Mm-hmm.
You can't burn the bread.
Yeah, I mean, think about like the president has his own doctor by the government and his own advisors, his own personal trainer and all that stuff. Like, if these guys ain't performing and keeping them healthy and stuff like that, it doesn't look good on their resume, to say the least, right? Okay, so, where's that at? Verse 3, yeah. So, he put them in the custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Oh yeah, so Joseph's not in there with murderers and stuff. He's in there with not a so good baker and not a so good provider of drink, right? The captain of the drinking. So the captain of the guard put Joseph over them, and he served to or ministered to them, and they continued a season in custody. So the chief baker and captain of drinking for Pharaoh are now underneath Joseph's rule in the prison. Okay, so what is that about? You have bread and drink in there, and you got Joseph over them. So just trying to put that together.
Are they predicting the future?
Because he's over them?
Yeah.
He's almost going to be like Pharaoh to them? Kind of, yeah, maybe. It's a good point. Okay, so verse 5. Let's keep reading and we'll think about that. So each of them dreamed a dream. Each man his dream. One in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were bound in the prison. Joseph came into them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were both sad. Sounds like my wife. She has a dream, and then she's mad at me because I did something in her dream. I'm like, it's just a dream, lady. But it felt so real. But it wasn't me. It was your own thoughts. Leave me alone. So these guys are sad because of the dream. So he asked...
Another dream.
He asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the ward of his master's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there's no one to interpret it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Now tell them to me." And the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, I put them into Pharaoh's hand," and Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner, when you were his cupbearer. But things will go well with you. Think about me and show kindness to me, I pray you. mention me to Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. For I indeed was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. So doesn't Joseph sound like every prisoner on earth? I didn't do anything to be here.
That's true.
His is true, yes. So Joseph is a picture of human trafficking, being a slave, and of being falsely incarcerated. All of them. Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. Not only did his own brothers sell him into slavery, his cousins bought him. His cousin sold him to be a slave in Egypt. He became a slave. The Ishmaelites are his cousins. And then he was falsely imprisoned. A false report about him. One of the most vicious things. A lady lied that he took advantage of her. And so here he is, and he gives a good report to who?
I think it's strange because a lady wanted to lay with someone, and then she purposely put him in jail.
Correct, which is wrong. Yeah, which is why we have to watch out for ladies. We have to pray that Yahweh sends good ones our way.
Sometimes that's how bad right away do.
Okay.
Oh no.
All right. So,
verse. He's probably said it because his wife's not coming. Yeah. You're all brave without her. Uh-huh.
Verse 16.
He's only got
him. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I too was in my dream, and behold, I had three baskets of white bread on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was a small manner of Pharaoh's food, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. Joseph answered and he said, this is its interpretation. Three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off of you and will hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh from off of you. And that happened on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. He made a...
It's his birthday.
That's what it says.
Yep, it says.
He made a feast for all of his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. Yes, sir?
How old is he turning today?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't tell us how old Pharaoh is here. Okay, so it says, verse 21, and he restored the chief cupbearer to be his cupbearer again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. But the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him.
How rude.
How rude?
Papa.
Yes?
You know what?
What?
He must have done some pretty bad cooking if that's what he got his punishment for.
Oh, pretty bad cooking for that?
Just give him a bottle spanking for that.
Maybe Sarah has some commentary in hers about the cupbearer and the baker.
Wait. I want to talk about what you said.
Yeah. So what did you guys hear in chapter 40? What happened? How many dreams, Viola?
There was two.
Okay.
And he had two dreams himself.
Who said that? You did? Good job, Asa. What? So, two dreams in prison? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now watch this on the board, okay? So, we were going with the theme of robes, which this is a lot about robes, right? But look what else you can do here. You could also see there was two dreams here, right? You guys catch that? Okay.
Two dreams at the end.
There's two sons here. Mm-hmm. right? You had two sons die here. You had two sons born here. You had two dreams here. Catch that. And then you had the royal robe here, the royal robe here, the royal robe here, the robes here, the robe here. All within a story of teaching Judah, when we get to next week's Torah portion, a change in the heart of Judah. A change in the brothers. So within the story of all the brothers, you have all these small traces and little nuggets that are going to take you all the way to the end of your Bible. All the way to the time of Yeshua.
Until Yeshua comes,
there's lots of them. Like 50 more books.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Tell me that there's only 16 books of Yeshua in it.
It's a lot. Well, some people break up the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms into multiple books. Because those were just all put together. They weren't necessarily one book back in the day.
Well, I say they're one book. Because they're pretty short.
Okay, so any other thoughts on chapter 40? About the dreams in prison and the cupbearer and the baker.
It's all falling into place. It's all going to be for a purpose.
Why? It's, poor baker, right? Oh. Go ahead, Sarah.
So the only thing that kind of sticks out. Through, it says, like in verse 17. It says, in the topmost, all sorts of food for Pharaoh and birds were eating. The cupbearer in his dream performs his normal court function, though at fast forward speed. The baker executes a kind of bizarre parody of his normal function, balancing two baskets of bread on one on top of the other. This may imply a sense that the baker has been negligent in his duties. The pecking of the birds at this tower of baked goods is, of course, an explicitly ominous element. The two dreams parallel Joseph's two dreams, and that the first is anchored in an agricultural setting and involves harvesting, while the second is oriented toward the sky above. But instead of the glorious celestial bodies, here we have the swooping down of ravenous birds from the sky. So that's all it's kind of
nice.
Talked about the dreams.
Thank you. Right? Anybody have any other thoughts on this Torah portion? Any other comments? Questions?
You have a comment you need to tell me about.
Yes. He can confess after he turns
off. It's going to be a long ride to Odessa if you don't tell me.
Jesus. It was nothing. I'll read you the Torah portion again.
It's not in the Torah.
It is in here.
No, it's not in here. It's what you...
It, no, yeah, I got that from what I read here.
Interpretation.
Yeah, my commentary. I wrote down a book on it.
Why don't you put any commentary about
it? I guess I never noticed a robe connection.
Oh, yeah. Think about how important the robes... There's lots of stories about the robe. There's Elijah and Elisha.
You know what,
for
too?
The so-called mantle, it's a robe.
And I thought of the Esther story several times today for some reason. The deception of Tamar and Judah. I thought of Haman and
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought of something else. What did I think of that? And then, the king showing off. You were talking about the bacon. I was talking about being at the
Erickson. And then day party,
showing
yeah.
Off his stuff. You know, showing off all his fancy foods and everything. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I had those thoughts as you were reading.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're going to start teaching this class pretty soon. It's going to be nice. Bible scholars in the making. Yes. Lots of them.
What were you be doing? Sleeping on the couch?
No, I'm going to be enjoying it. I'm gonna be enjoying it. I'm gonna ask them questions too.
You can't sit there when other people are teaching. Like, oh, I got so bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do that.
No,
you
I don't.
You can't handle other people's teaching.
Yes, I do. That's how I learned everything I learned.
Like,
why are
you teaching?
Hmm?
You're probably like this.
No, she doesn't know. She don't know what she's talking about over there.
No, she's probably more like this. And you're probably more like this.
All right, any other comments or questions or anything else to add according to what we read today? No? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to love your truth, to walk in your truth, to be all about your truth, Father, to never be deception, to never fall for it, to never do it, Father, but help us just to be truth seekers, truth bearers, Father, and just help us to be full of grace and full of truth the way Yeshua was. Lord, we just pray for that in our life, that the world would know us by truth and that we would just love your truth and always abide in it, Father, and nothing else. Father, help us to stay far away from lies and deception. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen.